This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit deep to right center field. Adolis going way back at the wall. It's out of here. What a day for Willier Abreu. That's a three-run homer. His second home run of the day, and the Red Sox lead 5-2.
Abreu, the Ranger killer, strikes again on opening day. Goodness gracious. Well, good morning. On the heels of the opening day festivities, Rangers take the L to the Red Sox, but we're kicking off the 2025 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour live in the 6 a.m. Club here in the fantastic Keller, Texas. How about this place, ladies and gentlemen?
Dude.
Fire Station number one, absolutely on fire, courtesy of Firehouse Roofing, Whataburger, and Firehouse Movers as well.
Got to drive by. So this is a route from my house here that I used to take, go visit my dad before, you know.
I get it. Yep.
But I got to drive by
before
my
what?
Before he died.
Oh.
Because he had his nursing home was over here. But I got to drive by my favorite cemetery.
You have a favorite?
Yeah. There's a plot, and it says She Gone. That's the last name.
Power rank the cemeteries. 877-881-1053.
Yeah, it's just She Gone. And I was like, hell yeah. That's the best death name you're ever going to find. She Gone.
I love Keller. It's my home away from home, clearly, as we have the Keller Indians, who you and I went and actually saw.
I hope this is Keller Central territory. I think
it technically is, although we're like 2 miles from Keller.
No, this is Indian territory.
Is it?
Charger
okay.
Territory is on the
See, you know, because this is kind of your region over here. But
yes.
We got the Keller Indians that you and I went and saw play Southlake last year. That was the very first time we went out there.
Yep.
Was when we went and took in the game. So always love Keller. It is rainy, though. It is kind of gross this morning. So be careful when you're driving around, because I was driving in this morning and just getting the kickback from the tires off of the trucks and everything else. And it was a total fog driving in here.
But it's not raining right now, though. That's good.
No, now it's starting to calm down. Now it's starting to clear up. And you should definitely come out to 455 Keller Smithfield Road South to Keller Fire Station number one. Get some free Whataburger breakfast. They got plenty of it over here. We've also got the Tolo aprons, the Sean and RJ Firehouse grilling aprons.
These
that we're
are
giving
sick,
away.
By the way.
Yeah, they're
they
fantastic.
Look great.
I've already gotten like 6 requests to steal one and hide it for them. And I can't do that. That's not the way it works.
Radio people, they want anything free.
These aren't even
people. Love free.
These aren't even radio people.
Oh, they're just friends.
It's just friends who go like, "Will you save me one?" Or like, "Hey, grab me one." Or, "I'm not going to be there. Grab me one, will you?" And so the people are just trying to hit it up.
It's amazing. I wear more stuff that's free than what I pay for.
That's all I wear.
Yeah.
Like, just if somebody gives me like a free shirt or a free hat, that's like all I wear.
I'm wearing a free hat right now. Shout out Greystone Roofing and Construction. And I'm wearing my my free ballpark giveaway, Rangers
that.
2023 okay. World Champions.
So I'm not kidding. I think the only thing on my body right now that I've paid for was my shorts. Because I've got
BBL.
The Keller hat. I've got the Keller hat here, okay, which is given to me by Mike Eggleton. I got the Meat Church hoodie, which Matt Pittman gave us, and then I'm wearing these shoes, which Cody, marketing director Cody, gave me for my birthday.
Marketing director, he has leveled up. Yeah. Look at that, dude. Those are some nice kicks.
I gave him a management title, even if no one else will. That's what I did for him.
Well, we got RJ Choppy in the building, of course. Bobby Belt, a wild animal. We're here until 10 a.m. on a Friday. We got Peyton producing the program. I'm Eric Chiafalo with the G-Bag Nation.
Peyton Bordop in the program. Be clear about that.
Okay, yeah. I know we have some tension.
He's in charge of the drops. I would calm down if I were you.
Bordop in the program. He was good. I'm gonna play.
Bobby, we can have a truce right now. You just say the magic word, dude. I'll stop.
You tell me. You can tell me.
Because you don't know how to stop. You don't know
how
to stop.
There are no truces here, Peyton. You keep playing that drop.
Should I? I do want to play it.
Wait, can everybody just be quiet really quick? It sounds so good. I was hearing it in my car yesterday, but it just to hear it in my headphones.
Such a douche. You're going to get included in it too.
So special, Pepe. Do it again.
Oh.
Okay. Now, that little drop right there, plus Peyton's ditty. Do you believe in Jacob DeGrom? I've been singing that for the last 24
hours.
Dude,
it's very catchy.
When we got done playing, when we were after the show, Peyton kept playing that, and he kept tinkering with things. I went in the bathroom. And I was just listening and thinking it in my head. And I'm just busting out laughing. There's somebody in the stall. And I can only imagine, like, what is this guy doing? Just laughing in the back. I couldn't stop. I was uncontrollably laughing.
Yeah, it's the best. It is really, really special stuff that you guys are doing.
Peyton's song is very good. His drop choice, not as good. And if Peyton wants to keep picking fights, then I am going to play the song I sent you yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't want to play the song because I feel like I will get in trouble.
You feel like you may have crossed several lines.
Yeah, I feel like I might get in trouble with my diss track to Peyton and some sideswipes at Choppy for egging him on. You were egging him on yesterday. And so I took it out in the booth, and I was like, you know what? I felt like I was Kendrick walking in there, and then I walked out of there feeling like J. Cole. And I was like, why don't we pull my diss track back? I don't think this should see the light of day.
So Peyton hasn't heard it yet? He hasn't previewed it or anything?
Peyton and Choppy have no idea he even did it.
This is a very heavy-handed Bobby Belt when he feels like he's now been
wronged
or slighted in any way. He is now going to overcompensate with something that is so heavy-handed that it's gonna tug at you.
The most dangerous,
emotionally.
The most dangerous part of Bobby is when he gets time on his hands.
Yes.
And you know, when Sean's not here, Bobby thinks it's like, you know, playtime, so he has time on his hands.
And today I got time, cuz.
Yeah, so he's got time. And when he has time, that brain of his starts moving, and then he starts coming up with, you know, diss tracks.
I'll tell you what, I do believe, speaking of those songs, I do believe in Jacob DeGrom. I do not believe in Luke Jackson anymore. That's what I think.
Wow, you're one and done on our guy Luke Jackson?
Wow, one and done.
Like, here's what I think. I feel like we entered the season saying, I don't believe in the back end of the bullpen. Like that was just something that we were concerned about. Who's going to close these games? How reliable is this going to be? And yesterday, it was not very reliable. That turned bad in a hurry. And those were some hard-hit baseballs off of Luke Jackson. That was just...
They were.
This was the kind of scenario that you're facing in 2023 before you kind of cobbled things together, went on your run or whatever, was just that issue with the ninth inning. You could not... Now, this was a tie game. It wasn't a blown save. But this was a game where 2-2, and just in a blink, you look up and it's 5-2. All right, game over. I guess that's what we're looking at here.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that in the first game, you get the exact thing developing within the game that we were questioning all offseason about. Yeah. Were you a Kirby Yates away yesterday from being able to win that game?
I mean, look, that's the thing. If you're not going to compete, you don't need a closer. If you are going to compete, you need one. Like, that's kind of the reality of the situation in the sport. And, you know, if that's the position they're going to be in, and it's going to be kind of a roller coaster all year, then buckle up. You know, there are plenty of examples of teams that win and lose divisions based off of blown saves. Like, plenty of examples. And not even blown saves, but just, like, you know, bullpen blow-ups late in games. You know, you saw last night, you know, Oakland. You know, our guy Jose Leclerc giving up three runs.
You're kidding.
He had a 2-1 lead going into the eighth inning, give up two bombs. Like,
it can get away from you.
It can get away from you. It really can. And it, the thing about it, closers, relievers in general, they have a very short memory. They're like a kicker. They just forget about it. They should.
No, that's the problem.
Ideally, that's your closer makeup, is that you forget about it.
I feel like that's where we've talked about this before. One of the most inconsistent things year to year is how good is your bullpen or how good is a reliever. Like, you generally don't see relievers who have like 10, you know, sterling years of just perfection.
Right.
Like, oh yeah, this guy's awesome. That's why somebody like Kenley Jansen's so amazing.
They go up and down, right?
So that's the thing, is that they're supposed to have that short memory, but then they will get, you know, sometimes you'll get a Darren O'Day all of a sudden. Darren O'Day can't get out of his head for 3 months. He gets let go and he goes to Baltimore and he pitches well. You've got, you know, Neftali Feliz can't get out of his head. Jose Leclerc can't get out of his head. So, I mean, that can definitely happen. You just hope Luke Jackson will then shake this off. Or the Rangers may just start looking at things quickly and going, all right, we got to find some sort of combo here that works at the end of the game.
And look, I mean, when you when the other team's ace only goes five, you got to find a way to win the game. It's just the reality of it. Like, your offense has to come to play more, and it just didn't. The offense left a little bit on the table, and that's look, it's early in the year. Offenses are generally behind to start the year. Abreu wasn't.
No, he was not. The Rangers on the schedule was like, oh,
he was
going to be coming out on with a hot start. But you have two different texts here. The 817, both coming from the 817. The Luke Jackson walk up song said it all. Or the walkout song, I guess. 817 again was at the game yesterday. When Luke Jackson came into the game to a Madonna song, we knew it was not going to end well. I did not realize he was doing a Madonna ditty.
I didn't realize that. What was the Madonna song? That's what I need to know. Because, I mean, that tells me something about his mindset. Like, if he's coming out there to Like a Prayer, that's concerning to me. That tells me that he's going out there like praying that he doesn't blow this.
You know, according to the Rangers website, it says...
I thought she was the Like a Virgin singer.
She is the Like a Virgin singer. Yeah. He could be walking out there like that. So
Like a Prayer. Yeah, he could be Like a Prayer. Yeah, that's her too.
Yeah, Like a Prayer, Like a Virgin, Get Into the Groove could be that. Maybe that's it. Like, hey, he's psyching himself up. Get Into the Groove.
MLB.com says it's Party Like a Rock Star.
Well,
I don't believe that is true.
Man, hey, can we just respect how awesome that song was when that thing came out?
Yeah.
I think I was in middle school, as a matter of fact. We were just bouncing around loving that song.
It is Like a Prayer. It is Like a Prayer.
Okay, that's bad. Why are you walking? Why is Luke Jackson walking out there going, I'm just praying this goes well? What is they? Do they have the other relievers on there? Let's see here. What's a closer's walkout song that you see there? Like, I'm looking at that.
Let's see.
I don't know.
Our Rocker's got...
No, Sean Armstrong needs to close. Sean Armstrong's got to close.
Gangsta's Paradise.
Gangsta's Paradise, Coolio.
What's Chris Martin's?
They don't have his.
He doesn't lean into the Coldplay thing, does he?
No, he should. He absolutely should. It should be like The Scientist or whatever the hell it is. Yellow, whatever the name of their songs are.
Oh, Yellow. Yeah, you could do that. But I do have a problem. I agree with the fan text now. Depending on what the Madonna song was, I was going to be like, well, that makes sense. Okay? Like, I mean, you can do that. What, like 4 minutes to save the world? That's like, hey, 4 minutes, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to douse these flames. Y'all are going to be good to go. I trust that. I don't trust Like a Prayer. That, as much as I'm a praying man, I know you're a praying man.
Pretty sure that song's not about praying.
Chop grew up on a praying man.
Just throwing that one out there.
As much as there's that, I don't want him walking out there saying, well, I don't want him walking out there thinking about what that song's about either.
I want him walking out singing, do you believe in Jacob DeGrom?
That's a good one.
Great song. Hey, Chuck Morgan, I think he was trolley bait, but Chuck Morgan did say he was going to throw that up for Jacob DeGrom.
It needs to be Jake's walk up or walk out, I guess, for
and
him.
And Peyton had to just fake like he didn't love that. He was like, no, please don't, Chuck. I just emailed it to you.
Could you imagine?
Dude, but opening day was still, I mean, it was still a ton of fun, though.
It's always fun.
I had a blast. The game was so great right up until the ninth inning. I mean, I guess you wanted maybe more scoring would have been cool, more fireworks, but you got a lot of what you wanted to see.
Yeah, if you want, positives, Higashioka hit the ball really hard yesterday.
He's a really good, solid, like, role player. Like, and he adds depth to your lineup. What lineup he's been with, whether he was with San Diego, with New York, I think he may have been with like Minnesota, but wherever he's been, he has added depth to the lineup. He's a solid pickup.
And his nickname's Higgy, right?
Yeah. It is Higgy.
Yeah, okay. I just thought that Dawson had given him another nickname.
Dawson was thinking about doing, he actually tweeted about it yesterday during the game. Read some of the replies.
Good. Hey, you know that phrase.
He was going with Gash.
Yeah, I'll have to look this one
up. He was going to be calling him Gash.
For the middle of his name.
Yes, even though it is Gosh. He wanted to go Gash, but then it turns out Gash has an alternative meaning on the on the Urban Dictionaries, which is more common than I thought. I didn't know about this, but the text was inundated with it. If you go to his Twitter account, he was tweeting about it yesterday, people were responding with the exact same thing.
I have to really know. Were you not aware of it?
I was not aware, no.
You and Peyton, man, neither one of you had ever heard of this.
Of Gash?
Yeah, well, yeah, I would just, you don't have to keep repeating it.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
What was the word, Eric? What was the word?
Neither one of them, neither the two of you were aware of that. That's stunning to me.
It's a UNT thing. It's a UNT thing.
Hey, what kind of sound does Gash make?
Is that swinging a bat? Please be you swinging a bat. Dear God, Peyton.
I was hoping you would play Bobby's sound drop there.
We got to get out of here. By the way, Nathan Eovaldi was fantastic yesterday. Oh, positivity.
Eovaldi was nasty for when he was out there.
The curveball was dialed yesterday, dude.
Yeah, offense not yet in sync, but like you were also facing their ace. But again, when their ace only goes five innings, your guy goes longer, score is basically tied. You got to find a way to win that game.
Yeah, 100%. Hopefully the offense gets going. I believe we get Jack Leiter action coming up very, very soon, which is exciting. Yeah. But we got some more.
Berger was good at first picking him. He was pretty good at first too.
The flexibility on Berger. I mean, there were some really great defensive plays yesterday, which were little reminders of just how special 2023 was. That defense was fantastic.
161-1, here we come.
Yeah, we're on the way. All right, we'll have more Ranger opening day takeaways coming up throughout the program. But my goodness, March Madness, last night, Texas Tech, Duke, Cooper Flagg getting it done. And what's the status of the bracket challenge between the morning show? Sean, RJ, Bobby, Peyton, we'll give you the update next right here on The Fan.
3 seconds left. Wagner driving right behind his back. Launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight! The Red Raiders back from the dead! They rally from 16 down, and in overtime, Texas Tech knocks off Arkansas 85-83.
Congratulations to the Red Raiders of Texas Tech after Arkansas blew the 16-point lead, and now the Red Raiders are going to the Elite Eight. Last night was fantastic. Gaylord Choppy.
Yeah, it was. Peyton Russell's Texas Tech Red Raiders.
They are his. Hey, that's the Calipari that Will Chambers used to complain about all the time.
Knocking out Peyton Russell's Arkansas Razorbacks. 85-83, a 16-point lead. They blew a 16-point lead. They blew a 10-point lead. With what'd you say?
Ten-point lead with 3:30 to go.
Ooh, brutal, brutal, brutal loss for Arkansas, but a gutsy tournament-saving win for Texas Tech and Grant McCaslin, who, you know, I picked that one.
I did too.
You did too. I know Peyton picked St. John's.
I picked Texas Tech over Arkansas at this stage. Actually, I nailed that one. That's about all I nailed, but yeah.
You know, they had nothing going. They had nothing going on the entire game. Arkansas was nailing everything. Like, they were literally just completely dominating this basketball game. There's no reason that Tech should have won, but you need to have these games. Teams that win the title have these games. Florida had it already with UConn, in the second round, where they were down the entire game, at least maybe about 30 minutes of the game, and they come back and they wind up winning. But in overtime, and this thing, I had to do my BetMGM podcast as soon as this game was over. Number two ranked podcast.
I've heard.
And we don't want to be number one. It's overachieving.
Yeah.
We're number two. Number three. Yeah.
Number
we don't
two.
Want that.
Number two, you worked for number two. Number one, generally, you just kind of handed it. You're resting on your
laurels. Absolutely. So we had to wait for this game, and it was like, oh, it goes to overtime. And we're like, no, we went overtime. We went in regulations. Come on now. But 85-83, Tech wins this one.
What time did you close your eyes last night?
12:45.
And what time was the wake up this morning?
I woke up at the same time.
Oh, okay. So, but you were grateful for the quicker drive this morning, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit less. It was like 15 minutes less, 20 minutes less.
That's significant to me.
Yeah, it was.
That's huge. Yeah,
but I didn't change my wake up. I was just moving slower.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's something nice about being able to just take your time in the morning.
Make the coffee, drink some coffee at home before you get on the road. It was just a nice little thing. I don't know if you saw the first game last night, and that was Alabama-BYU.
Alabama just raining threes at 25 threes?
It was an insane, absurd pace I have never seen. Alabama was 25 of 51. 25 of 51
good.
From three.
51 shots from behind the arc.
In a 40-minute game, they took 51 three-pointers.
I mean, you score 113 points in 40 minutes of basketball.
40 minutes. You never see that. And what we're going to have here next, because Duke also won, and Duke really, you know, they pulled away. Arizona hung around. They hung around. So, you know, Duke didn't have a chance to pull away. They were trying to, but they didn't have a chance to because Caleb Love had one of the great games you're going to see at 35 points and no turnovers.
By the way, on the Alabama game really quickly, they made more threes in the first 5 minutes and 42 seconds of that game than St. John's and Arkansas made combined in their whole game.
Oh, gosh.
Well, St. John's won a game this year where they went like one of 21 from the three-point
line. You'll get some bad shooting in college basketball. But, you know, Duke-Alabama, they've already set the over-under at 173.5. And that's lower than what the Bama-BYU game was. That Bama-BYU game hit that over-under at like the 8-minute mark. But I'm already all over the over. All over the over in that game. Like, this is going to be a trip. We might see both teams at 100.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you want, dude. This is so exciting right now. You want to see the offense. Cooper Flagg last night was out of this world. Watching him play and knowing that he was coming off the ankle and everything like that, and then in the big moments, this dude is like they have so much talent, and they've proven that they could win without him, but they obviously can't win the championship without him. And the way that he controls everything, dude, the no-look passes last night, it felt like every play was a no-look alley-oop to somebody else when he wasn't hitting a buzzer-beater pull-up style from behind the arc going into halftime.
That looks like a guy Nico Harrison would trade for a second-round pick.
No, because he's thin.
Yeah, no.
At least at this point.
That's true.
He's not Cooper Flagg. He is future Dallas Maverick. Cooper Flagg.
Is that what we're doing? We're just speaking it. We're just willing it into existence.
Yep. We're gonna gag for Flagg.
He is going to be a Dallas Maverick.
Yeah.
This June.
Well, after what I saw last night,
June draft,
everything we'll be at a clean slate if we get Flagg.
Yes. If you tank, if you do the right thing,
but they're not because they're still playing Anthony Davis.
Hey, they do the right thing by the down the stretch, and they tank. All right, because they've already moved down, right, Bobby? They're down 13.
Well, no, Phoenix is in better position in the lottery now, so they are 13 after the win by the Mavericks last night.
Yeah, so if they tank for Flagg, all will be forgotten. Well, not all.
Nope,
not all. It'll be it'll be like, you know, you're in trouble with the lady, and then you do the laundry, or you do something for her. Not something nice. Bobby would never do that.
No, I've never.
But
heard
like,
of that.
You know, you do something nice for her, like you're just trying to kiss her butt. And that's what this would be.
Trying to do that.
You know, that's what this would be. So it's going to be Florida and Texas Tech, and then Alabama and Duke in the Elite Eight. That's going to be tomorrow. And then today, the four games starting at 6:09. It'll be Ole Miss and Michigan State, 6:39 Kentucky and Tennessee, 8:39 Michigan-Auburn, and then 9:09 Purdue and Houston.
You and me, baby. We all,
yes, sir.
You and me, the only two to correctly predict Florida, Tech, Duke, Alabama to the Elite Eight. We nailed that one.
And it's amazing. You know, Peyton had his ones and twos. All he had was ones that he would chuck City.
Yeah, exactly. Peyton.
Elite Ayton.
All of his chalk. Peyton out here looking like a DJ, how much he was on the ones and twos. It was just, I'm going to kill.
Keep talking, Bobby. Keep talking. I told you.
Look at him.
I'm going to play the song. I
want you to play it. I'm here for it.
But it'll be your last night, day. What did we see last night, right? We didn't see any upsets, did we? No upsets? And that's what we said in a little cheat sheet, right?
Yeah.
In the Sweet 16, it averages 0.25 upsets per year in the Sweet 16. So don't bet on it.
Sweet 16 and Elite 8, those were the two where you said the favorites are going to pull there.
Favorites are the favorites.
And that's what it's going to be. So we ended up getting Florida Tech, Duke, Bama. Right, all of us. You and me hit that. Yesterday, Peyton got Florida, Duke, and Alabama because he had picked St. John's like an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then Sean got Florida, Texas Tech, and Duke because he had Wisconsin over Alabama.
That's right. So we've all kind of separated ourselves.
Well, yeah, a little bit. So here's where the bracket stands right now. Peyton is winning with 62 points at the moment. Yeah, that's because you're a little coward bracket.
You're just an idiot, Bobby.
I have 61. Oh, no.
I love the pettiness of these two.
I'm just going to wreck his life. 61 for me. Chop, you have 60. When you thought you were down and out, after the opening weekend, you were preparing your Paul Harvey monologues. Like, all right, I'm going to have to talk for a half hour when I lose this thing. And, no, you ended up, you've rallied a little bit. Sean has 56. He's backed off of our group here. And the futures, Chop, say that the most Sean can max out at is 101, which is currently the lowest total. Oof. The most we can max out at, you and I, is 102. Peyton can max out at 107. So this might set up for Sean hosting solo for that half hour, which I feel like is the least funny result.
It's the least funny result because I think ultimately that's what he wants to do anyway. He doesn't want to host with us anyway.
Yeah, he just wants to do his own thing. The only thing funny about that will be he has to get up earlier and he has to come in earlier and he'll be cranky about that. But then I don't know that we want that. Do we want him cranky for the rest of the show?
Nah, doesn't matter.
What would be much different about?
Yeah, he'll be cranky anyway.
I can't imagine anybody wanting to just talk into a microphone by themselves, though.
Oh, it's awful. Such a... That's why I would never do, like, these people who do, like, their own podcast, a solo podcast, you're looking right at the screen.
Yeah.
I need something else.
It's just not fun.
So
it's not fun at all.
Make sarcastic remarks to myself?
Yeah, I don't know.
Further updates tonight.
Calls. Doesn't do it.
We all have Auburn alive tonight. We're picking them. Peyton and I have Michigan State alive and active tonight. It's Sean and Peyton have Houston, and then Sean, all of us have Tennessee. So those who have something to play for tonight have picked the same winners. So really the biggest outliers left in our tournament are Houston is going to the Final Four, according to Sean. He's the only one who has them there.
I got him winning it all.
Houston winning it all.
Yeah, let's go Cougs.
Peyton has Auburn going to the final. We all have them losing in the Final Four. And then Peyton and RJ have Tennessee going to the Final Four. Sean has them out in the Elite Eight. So those are like the main things we have left aside, other than the title game, which is me and Peyton picking Duke and Sean and RJ picking Florida.
Okay.
So we're in a little bit of a lull right now where there's not going to be a whole lot of separation, I don't feel like.
No, I mean, not unless, like you said, there's an upset. If Houston loses or Tennessee loses tonight. If one of those two happens, then it'll really change the dynamic.
Oh, well, Houston would end it for Sean.
Yeah, if Houston loses tonight, if you want Sean to lose, then you want to root for Purdue.
Yeah, that's good. That'll be. And I think Peyton, didn't you say that if you could redo your bracket, you would pick Purdue?
I think Purdue's a really good team. I know they've been a bunch of nobodies the first two rounds, but I think Purdue's good.
I would pick Purdue tonight. I think I might hate Purdue more than anybody else in the country. That's the school I can't stand the most. They beat us like every year of the tournament. They beat us all the time in the tournament. If we get by Kentucky, I want Purdue. I want that smoke.
We have gotten a second apology from the University of Connecticut over the Dan Hurley outburst that led to whatever the guy's name was.
Bobby Mullen.
Bobby Mullen just ruining Bobby's everywhere. Bobby Mullen threatening to put a horse head in the bed of a reporter from North Carolina that Jake Rietma's friends with. Now we have actually Dan Hurley apologizing. He was speaking to the Hartford Courant and a couple other Connecticut papers, said he wished he didn't do that, made the comments about officiating that he did. Quote, those are three great officials on that game. So although I said something in the heat of the moment in an arena of the in an area of the arena that in pretty much every game I've ever coached in college has been media free. So this is still a sideswipe from Dan Hurley. Past the tunnel, by the locker rooms, in the hallway where the coaches go. That's for the combatants. That's for the competitors. That's not for camera phones. Just relative to that, those were three great refs, and Florida earned it. If I don't go off the rails at the end there after that three-year run ended in excruciating fashion, if I don't have that emotional outburst there, probably all people are talking about is the run we've had, the amazing players. And you actually agree with him on this, don't you?
Yeah.
That the idea of that's the war zone. Let him.
Yeah, let him be his lunatic self on the floor. I can see it, but I don't need to react to what anybody does on the floor. You know, I don't want to hear what they're saying. If they mic'd up, they should never mic up the trenches in a football game, the O-line, D-line. Like, mic them up, fine, but don't let everything out. I don't need to hear some of that.
Yeah, I mean,
because a lot of people are going to get offended by what's said in there.
But I remember seeing clips. Remember Dirk's kicking stuff in the back tunnel,
yeah,
or whatever when he after losing in the finals,
yeah,
or whatever.
It's just sports, man.
You know, exactly. I don't think it's they crossed the line after the fact with the AD lashing,
yeah,
out like this was some big thing. This,
yeah,
was a nothing burger.
Right. Nothing.
We laugh at what Dan Hurley said. Some people criticize it for 5 seconds and you move on.
You can't get sensitive about this stuff.
Really,
man.
Not that big of a
this
deal.
Hurley's
just hilarious, man.
Yeah.
Well, you like him.
Yes, I do.
I can't stand him. Like, I mean, that not for that. I get he's upset, but I can't stand him. He's Nick Sirianni in basketball.
Oh, I couldn't disagree more. I don't like Sirianni.
They both win.
He, yep, loves both of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Choppy's a fan of both.
Choppy's toxic.
That's my guy, Chop.
Well, Sirianni's Italian. That's why.
That's true. The Italian bias. Shout out to the Italian Nathan Evaldi yesterday getting it done on the bump. Unfortunately, the Rangers lose 5-2 on opening day. But we're here at Keller Fire Station, number 1, 455 Keller Smithfield Road South. Sean and RJ Firehouse Aprons. Free breakfast from Whataburger while supplies last. Big shout out to Firehouse Roofing, Whataburger, and Firehouse Movers for partnering up with us and making it possible for us to get on the road and hang with the firefighters and the Tolos. We're just getting started here in the 6 a.m. club. Mavs get an ugly victory over the Magic. Jalen Brunson has some things to say. And Jim Nance, this is a man that's thinking into the future. This is a man with big-time
yeah,
plans
big-time
right
plans.
Here. We'll get to that next right here on The Fan.
He finds top scorer tonight, Jaden Hardy. Hardy gave it up to Anthony Davis. Under 2 minutes to go. Hardy! And it falls in there! It's Jaden Hardy's world tonight, and we are just living in it.
That's right, Mavs TV with the call. It was a Hardy party last night, 22 points in 20 minutes, and he nailed all 5 of his 3-point attempts. Just unwavering confidence for a guy who has sucked so bad since the All-Star break.
No,
I'm just saying, I'm admiring the confidence. I really am. Anthony Davis was a shell of himself. Why are we putting him out there? 4-14 from the field. And or from
because
2-point range at least.
He's skinny, man.
And no, I mean, he just didn't quite look like himself. That's
look,
for sure.
Look, they and Anthony Davis, Nico Harrison got everything he wanted. He knew Kobe Bryant, and he was built like Ally McBeal. That's all he cares about.
Checks all the boxes.
Checks all the boxes. Don't. Yeah. You know. But the thing is, you don't want to encourage them to win games.
No, not right
now. No, not at all.
We don't want that. We don't want this. We don't want this.
You want
very
the draft
very
pick.
Bad. You want the draft pick. You want Cooper Flag. You want Cooper. Flag.
Yes. I was just so impressed with him last night, too.
Yeah, that's what you want. You want to get Cooper.
Flag and Love last night were just fantastic.
They
going
were.
Back and forth, back
they
and
were.
Forth. It
so
was epic
Wyatt,
stuff.
So was Wyatt Johnston.
Yeah.
A little Wyatt.
There you go. Stars dub.
Yep. 5-2 over Calgary. Calgary, as they say. North of the border.
Yeah, taking care
of be within now, our borders, you know what I mean?
Now, that's a team we want to keep winning.
Yes.
And just like we want the Rangers to keep winning. But, yeah, we
or
do.
Or start winning.
Yeah, that's exactly
yeah, start
yes.
winning. Yeah.
I mean, keep up the winning tradition they started a couple years ago. By the way, we are out here at Keller Fire Station number 1, 455 Keller Smithfield Road South. Couple of quick notes. Park off of Bear Creek if you're coming out here this morning. So park off of Bear Creek. They have a coned-off lane that you can kind of park in and stop in. See, we are already got one guy who he's figured out. And we also had some Tolo stop by during the break. We have Sam in Fort Worth came by, Mark in Flower Mound, Steve in Keller, who was on his way to work this morning as a orthodontist. 87,000 minutes on the Odyssey app last year. He was very proud of. He wanted to make sure he told us that. He said he's got them popped in, listening during the workday all the time. We also talked to Sean from North Fort Worth, who is also a I heard the accent. I was like, that's not quite Texas Southern accent. What is that one? It was Georgia. And so he's from Georgia initially, came over here. We're talking about some of the neighborhood watch stuff from yesterday. Yeah,
that's that accent where they say, where they call it the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
that accent is.
And so, and then you had a special guest.
Oh, I got a bunch of special guests here. I mean, we got Brian Sykes, legendary Tolo, 817 gentleman in the building.
The former Browns quarterback.
Soaking in some Whataburger action right now. We have Steve Blunt, the head man from local craft barbecue. Steve Blunt is a creative barbecue genius in Newark.
You ever hit a spot?
Yes, absolutely.
It's amazing.
I'm on the menu, dude. They got a burger in my honor.
What? Really?
The Big Chief. It's a double patty burger with a pork belly third layer on top. It's just absolutely to die for.
Is that the first
highly recommend it.
Is that the first time you've hit Blunt's?
So now we go to the other guy who's special here, which is my coach Comfort. Coach Chuck Comfort from Northwest High School. And he is still a member of the basketball staff there. He's heading to practice right now, but he pulled up and said hello. Big Tolo, and he knew me whenever I was 9th grade, 10th grade, 11th grade.
Was he there when you shredded your knee?
Yeah, I believe so.
I need to ask you if that was just poor form tackling from you.
He's one of the rare individuals who has survived not one, but two lightning strikes.
What?
Does he have like a white spot in his hair?
He is a one-of-one human being. That is as rarefied a human being as you'll ever find. Not only not a single lightning strike, but on two separate occasions.
He's a special human being. If you could have something happen to you that escaped death, like what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a real good question.
Like, would it be like you come face to face with a polar bear, or because
that
lightning
is certain
strike?
Death.
That's certain death.
Because you're playing on his turf. If you're with a polar bear, you're on ice somewhere.
He doesn't come across food.
Yeah, he's starving.
He doesn't ever come across food, so he just eats.
You think that's what David Carradine was trying to do? He's just trying to cheat death.
Yeah, maybe.
He didn't win.
Jeez, Bob.
He did not win.
I'm gonna have to think on that brainbuster question there, Choppy. Bobby's a wild animal. Hey, what is Mark Cuban talking about, Bob?
Okay, so Mark Cuban is crashing out. All right, when you've got this is how you know he's. Although he used to do some of this when he was the owner of the Mavericks. You know things are not going your way when you're just replying on random people's Facebook posts and leaving long comments explaining the situation of what's happened. This is the way that WFAA recounts this. It's been nearly 2 months since Luka Doncic was traded from the Dallas Mavericks to the LA Lakers. The fallout from that deal has put the loyalty of MFFLs to the test. Despite stating he had nothing to do with the trade, former Mavs owner Mark Cuban has received flack from fans. I feel like he's avoided most of it, though.
He has avoided 99.9% of it. There are a couple of idiots who are like, why'd you sell the team?
Yeah, I feel like most people
paid me like $2.5 billion. That's why.
Most people understand, I think, like, he would have never been down with trading Luka.
Right.
One such fan is Gavin Molloy, the former event and venue manager of the Dallas Mavericks. On Friday, Molloy posted to his personal Facebook saying, Cuban should be run out of Dallas. Molloy's criticism of Cuban is just a drop in the ocean of ire pointed at those tied to the Mavs organization, but it certainly caught the eye of the former owner. Cuban replied to the post and comments under the post several times. Gavin Molloy told WFAA, I found it extremely interesting that someone would jump into my Facebook post on my personal page, who I'm not even friends with. I never in a million years thought Mark Cuban was going to jump in a Facebook thread and start answering questions. And boy, when he went in there, he started going off a little bit. When Cuban bought the team in 2000, he paid $285 million. When he officially sold in 2024, he pocketed $3.5 billion. In the comments, Cuban said the Mavs weren't a moneymaker during his tenure. Quote, I made money two out of the 23 years I was the majority owner, lost hundreds of millions of dollars. He said, when he sold his stake, he said, I fully expected to run basketball. The NBA wouldn't let me put that in the contract. They took it out. So he put that in the contract language initially.
Okay,
the sale.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that'd be really easy to debunk.
Hey, look, yeah, you'd have to convince me very hard.
So I mean, I think Cuban's a lot of things. I don't think Cuban's a liar. Like I think Cuban generally is going to be pretty direct with stuff.
I mean, I didn't call him a liar.
Well, I know you didn't. I'm just saying I don't think he would have made that up as all. He said, I thought the Adelsons would stick to their word because they didn't know the first thing about running the team.
He's calling them a liar.
Someone, someone obviously changed their mind. So Cuban is being pretty defiantly. This started bubbling early on. He was very quiet early on. You remember his first reply was just MFFL. That's all he said in reply. Then he told Chandler Parsons something. Well, then he made a joke at a conference. Then he talked to Tom Segura like we played the other day. And now he's just crashing out on social media a la Bernstein and saying,
that's right, Bernstein. That's
just,
right.
Just going so, like, I thought I could trust him, but I couldn't.
So either Nico back channeled, you know, old the gaslighter in chief, Patty. All right, either he back-channeled him.
That's my guess.
And shoe salesmaned him and was like, hey, you know, I can run the whole thing. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to keep Mark around. Muscle Mark out. Or, you know, Patty's just a snake rat and just didn't keep his word. Like, one of the two.
Yeah.
Kind
of,
right?
I mean, yeah. Now, Cuban seems to be of the opinion, it sounds like, he doesn't say it directly. That sounds to me like he thinks Nico Harrison stabbed him in the back. Because he said, he talks about, I thought the Adelsons would stick to their word because they didn't know the first thing about running a team. Someone obviously changed their mind. So he's not talking about this as if just, oh, they lied to me or, oh, they came to this conclusion. No, he sounds to me like he's saying, I would assume the only person who he could be implying, maybe even somebody else in their circle, but I would assume that sounds like he's talking about Nico Harrison.
100%. Nico had this this big picture plan ready to go, and he knew that he wouldn't be able to execute it if he wasn't the guy that was able to really kind of steer the ship. If Mark was still going to be running the basketball ops, then Nico would never be able to do 100% what he wanted to do, and part of that included punting on Luka. So I think this is
which
pretty
I still
obvious.
Don't understand Nico why. I still don't get why. Nothing makes sense about the whole thing. I still don't know why he wants to punt on him. Like, stop with the whole, he's out of shape. He's 25 years old.
The delivery is very different. The bravado is different. The way they talk is different. But at the end of the day, Nico is very clearly similar thought process in a lot of ways to Jerry Jones, which is, I want to win, but I only want to win my way. And Luka's not my way. Luka doesn't check my boxes. So he's going, I don't get, everything else be damned, we're winning my way. And that clearly became a big focus for him.
I can't wait for the book. I can't wait for the movie. The 30 for 30. I want to find out really what, like 10 years from now. 10 years from now, the movie.
Name the 30 for 30. What would you call it?
Oh.
What do you got? Didn't you say you would just go with hacked, question mark?
No. Well, that or they traded who? Like traded that, who? That was everybody's reaction that night. Or like, wait, what?
Luka Doncic.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's a good one.
That's pretty lame.
No, it's good. No,
it was a half-assed effort. I mean, Bobby puts me on the spot to name the 30 for 30.
I had given
for you. 0 seconds of thought prior. Okay, now let's transition quickly to Jim Nantz. What is Jim Nantz putting plans together?
Yeah.
You put 0 seconds of thought into this. Jim Nantz put, what, 11 years of thought into this?
Jim Nantz has announced his retirement.
Oh.
Tony.
When's he leaving? Next month?
2036.
Oh. Do you think Sean's paternity will run out by then?
I don't know. Sean might have another child, just to have more paternity leave.
it's the cheat code.
The look up Jim Nantz's age.
Okay.
The guts on this guy. The guts on this guy to even, I mean, he's not 30, okay? He's not 30 years old. He's 65. The guts on him to be like, you know what? I'm going to be alive at 76.
What?
You know what I mean? It's 2036. You're in your 60s.
It's optimistic.
That's optimistic. All right. I don't think once you get past like 45, you can count on tomorrow.
But what an attention.
And I'm 45. And I don't like to say that.
What an attention whore here.
Yeah, I'm going to retire in 2036. Jim, so am I.
Guys, I'm retiring in 11 bleeping
11
years.
11 years.
11 years. Why are you even telling anybody?
I'm going to try to make it to 2040. But
you are specifically?
Well, I'm just I'm pulling a Jim Nantz.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm pulling a Jim Nantz here.
I got you.
I mean, come on, like, what are we doing?
It's quite a flex about your job security and how you know that you get to call the shots.
Yeah.
They're not gonna push you out 5-6 years from now when you become a touch more senile.
Well, he's
got this gig until he decides he doesn't want it.
He does, because the Masters controls who does their announcing. They control everything.
And also who controls a member and who gets in.
He's got
y'all
basically
Google that.
Carte blanche of what he wants to do there. But also, that will be the 100th Masters.
Ah, the 100th. So that's his whole thing. He wants to reach there. He is such a company man, too. He knows he's not getting booted out of here for 11 years.
Yeah.
Totally.
And he would have, at 100, when he gets to the 100th Masters, he would have called more than half of them. He would be his 51st.
Mm.
But the dude is a machine.
Yeah, he's been on a heck of a run.
Yeah, he's on a heater, man.
He's got 10 more years left. Congratulations, Jim Nantz.
The guts on him. Just think, 2036. Like, I'll be here still.
He's tempting fate a little bit there.
I don't even have guts to make plans in June.
But he knows it's more likely that God takes him away from the world than CBS kicks him out of the chair.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the truth about it.
Right?
All right, we're live here at the Keller Fire Station, number 1 Keller Smithfield Road South. Sean and RJ Firehouse Aprons and free breakfast from Whataburger all morning long here until 10 a.m. Let's take a look at these Rangers from yesterday. MLB opening day takeaways, especially with the Rangers after they fall 5-2 to the Sox. That's next right here on The Fan.